Today on Jesse Duplantis Ministries.
No matter what your vision is, you must be a business person first, or else you will always be placed at a disadvantage in life. I want you to turn with me once again. We're going to read our foundation scripture in Joshua chapter 14. Caleb was the best second I ever seen. And he actually finished better than the first, which was Joshua. But both of them, the Bible said, and was a great reputation, that they wholly followed the Lord. What I love about Caleb was, it didn't make no difference. He had 45 years of doubt and unbelief around him, and he never changed his vision. It actually did Joshua a little bit, because God told him in the previous chapter, chapter 13, you're old now, and there's still much land to be possessed. But my God, Caleb was focused. And I've said this all the time. You focus on your priority, you eliminate all confusion. You know, you put on what I call spiritual blinkers, and you look at what God tells you to do, and you go. I've said this so many times, I don't have any more faith in anybody, but I might have a little more obedience, because I don't have time to be looking to the left or to the right. I have to focus. And in Joshua chapter 14, I want to read again, reading out of the old King James. I love verse 6, then the children of Judah came to Joshua to Gilgal. And Caleb, the son, how do you like to have a daddy's name like that? How do you say that? Jephunneh? Close enough. A Kenizzite, that I can understand. Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee at Kadesh-Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh-Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. You got to understand that. You could not depress this man. Yeah. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God. Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land wherein thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's inheritance. Or thy children forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord, my God. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years. Now he's 85 years old. So in other words, to him, it's just a number. He said, you know, I'm 45. Let me read verse 10 again. Now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, and he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, 85. And yet, I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. Underline that. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. Notice this, for war. You never lose your ability to fight for your vision. Both to go out and to come in. Now, therefore, anytime there's a therefore, find out what it's there for. Brother Hagin used to say that. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there and that the cities were great and fenced. That didn't bother Caleb. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave that mountain. And that's Hebron, or Hebron, however you want to say it. And who is actually buried there is the patriarchs, Abraham and Sarah. Isaac and Rebekah, Jacob and Leah, not Rachel. Leah holds a phenomenal honor in God's eyes. And she was kind of looked down on. She was the ugly sister, but not to God. Right. And Rachel was nice, don't misunderstand, but it's not the issue. So in other words, on the property that God gave Caleb, because he focused and wholly followed the Lord, he gave him the honor of having the patriarchs more or less in his backyard. He said, I'm 85 years old. There's no doubt or unbelief in anything he says. See, you can't have that with vision. Now, I want to talk today about something that a lot of ministers have. Great preachers, but not good business people. My man can shuck the corn, like we say in South Louisiana, ball a potato, can flat preach the gospel, but can't seem to control finance in any way, shape, or form. Perfect example of that, as I said, it was last night, is the 1947 to 1958 healing revival. I mean, these guys had some faith. Jack Cole, A.A. Allen, William Branham. I mean, my God, come on. It was hard not to get healed. Where are their ministries? What happened? Watch this now. Probably all the people that they prayed for that were healed are probably now passed on. How come the ministry's not there? Not good business people. And I want to deal with that. I want you to write this down at point one of this sermon. No matter what your vision is, that includes if you're not a preacher, that includes whatever you do. No matter what your vision is, you must be a business person first, or else you will always be placed at a disadvantage in life. Now, the prime example of that is Jesus Christ. At 12 years old, tells his mama, I'm about my father's business. He didn't say, I'm about my father's ministry. Trying to show these people how to handle that tabernacle. Then he comes back at 30 years old and they didn't listen to a word he said. And he drove them out. He said, you made my father's house a den of thieves. How can the church become a den of thieves? Because you try to work with sin. Sin is like oil and water. It's pollution. It doesn't function in God's world. Even the Father God couldn't even look at Jesus because of my sin that was on him on the cross. You put yourself at a great disadvantage. And here's a problem with a lot of the reason why people, because they have egos that are too big. When I hire someone, I hire to my weaknesses. I don't have to be the smartest man in the room. Not to my strengths, because I can do that. I need people telling me what to do concerning certain things, like that Easy Four stuff, my pilots and my mechanics and the different things. I don't know how to do that, but they do. Or IT department, some of the things that they need to go on, see? So I hire people to tell me. Now, I make the final decision. You see, in terms of finance and things of that nature, if it's up to a certain point, they make their own decision, and then it'll go to Kathy, and then eventually it'll come to me if it's in the millions or whatever that takes, and I have to make that decision. And I trust the people that are around me, so I tell my staff, tell me what you think here, and I want to know everything about you, not because I'm nosy, because you may have a quality that I need, and I don't want to go outside and hire someone when I can elevate you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Let me say it again. No matter what your vision is, you must be a business person first, or else you will always be placed at a disadvantage. Now, do you know Jesus never had a financial deficit? Go find one. Never. Now, then the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1, be ye therefore imitators of God. How come you have financial deficits? Wait a minute. That shouldn't operate. That shouldn't function. That's not right. Because you're relying on people instead of the vision that God gave you. Yeah, God uses people. That's true. But what happens is, he said, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to believe? You see what I'm saying? And when you understand that, let me just make this announcement. Ladies and gentlemen, you don't need the bank. The bank doesn't have any money. It has all yours. They're making money on your money. So why do you want to pay for someone else's investment when you should own it yourself? Answer the question. So, and you're going to answer intellectually instead of spiritually because you've been taught that. Now, I understand the Wall Street concept, use other people's money, and that's good when everything's running high. But boy, when it goes low, well, during the Depression, some people just jumped out of windows. You don't think money was their God? They couldn't function, lost everything? Well, you know, I never forget, I met a lady one time. I was coming back from Johannesburg, South Africa. I was preaching there. And this lady, and I was by myself. You talk about a round trip. I left New Orleans, flew 19 hours. I had to go to Atlanta. Had a layover of an hour, then from Atlanta nonstop to Joburg. I got there at Joburg, watch it, at 6 o'clock. I had to preach at 7 o'clock. I ran into the hotel, you know, took a shower, cleaned up and everything. This is before I had my own plane. And watch it. And I preached, and we had a glorious time. And they said, can you come out to dinner with us? I didn't want to. I was tired. I'd been flown 19 hours, you know. And I didn't sleep a lick, you know, and going over. So I said, okay. Well, they finally got me back at the hotel at 3 o'clock in the morning. Well, I was back up at 5 because I had to catch a flight at 6. This is when you didn't have to go through security. You could go straight to the gate, get your boarding pass. You remember those days? People weren't wearing pajamas when they were flying. Remember that? You remember that? People sometimes would just dress up because they were flying. Well, I come there, and Kathy's always, when she would fly with, Kathy wants something to eat, and we'd be sitting there, and she said, Jesse, ask him for some more orange juice. I said, Kathy, you done drank 3 glasses of it. They're going to think I'm a hog, man. Just ask for it. So I said, excuse me, can we have some more orange juice? And I had one flight attendant. She said, you like orange juice. I said, I ain't drinking any of them. She is. And then we were on first class somewhere going away, and they had caviar. Kathy loved caviar. Oh, Lord, she loved caviar. She said, ask for some more caviar. I said, why don't you ask? I'm the one who looked like a pig here. And I'm just confused. So now she's not with me, and I said, I don't have to worry about any of that. I can sit and just relax without somebody saying, get me this and get me that. And here comes a woman. She's sitting in a window seat. Excuse me? I said, oh, yes, ma'am. I get up. She goes, what's your name? I said, my name is Jesse. And I'll keep her name private, you know. And she told me her name. And she said, I'm so depressed. And I wanted to say, you think I care? I want to sit down, try to grab some sleep here. I've been up almost 2 days. She said, I tell you what, we were in the bush the other day. I said, the bush? She said, yeah, you know, jungle. And you know, I don't go anywhere without my jewelry. I said, that's nice. And my husband, he took the Gulfstream and he decided to go do some business. So I just decided to fly Delta back. And I'm so depressed because they stole $4 million of my jewelry. And my husband said, you don't wear jewelry in the jungle. She said, I wear jewelry everywhere. I'm pretty sure lion saw her and said, well, we're not going to eat her. She's too expensive. Well, look at this, man. She said, I'm so depressed they stole $4 million of my jewelry. But I love my husband. He said, you know, honey, don't worry about it. If we can buy it once, we can buy it again. I said, you got a good husband. She said, that's right. So, and they said, would you like something to drink? So I got something to drink. She got something to drink. Then she says, Jesse. I said, yes, ma'am. Ask him to give me another drink. I said, you got to be kidding. But she was a nice lady. So I said, okay. I said, ma'am, I said, excuse me. Lady here needs another drink. Now, what's this? So I'm polite. They service. She says, I want some more butter. I want to say, well, get your fat bed up and go over there and get the butter. I'm trying to relax. I'm having a hard time eating because I'm wore out. So I said, excuse me. Can I get another pat of butter? Two pats of butter. So she eats and I'm thinking, I hope she goes to sleep. She looks at me and says, Jesse, I need you to wake me up at a certain time. And I said, I want to say, do I have a Delta stick on my jacket? She said, would you do that for me? And she had these blindfold things. She puts them on. She goes to bed. And I thought, I'm not doing this. Do y'all think I woke her up? Yes, I woke her up. I couldn't sleep because I thought, man, my God, I'm going to pass her time, you know. That's a true story. She said, where are you going? I didn't tell her. Landing in Atlanta. I said, I don't want to. She'll have to go on the same plane. I have to take care of her. I was at a disadvantage. And Kathy, when I told Kathy, so she said, well, how come you complain? When I asked you, do you didn't complain? I don't know. So, man, I didn't sleep the whole time. Flew all the way back, another 19 hours. But by the time I got to the house, I looked like a zombie. But why did you go? The Father's business. And what is that? to reach people, change lives one soul at a time. Then I get all this kind of stuff. Now, you know, you're in a different country and our money is not as valuable. And I said, excuse me, did I ask you for any money? No, sir. I said, I came here, didn't I? I said, you want to bless me and give me an offering? Fine, you don't, I'll go home. It don't make no difference. I don't mean that pridefully because I know how to handle this. Now, I want to get to this point. I told you that story. A man walked to me not long ago and he said, Lord said, I want you to use this in the visionary conference of 2024 is that vision is the biggest word in God's vocabulary. And this man walked up to me and he said, but Jesse, I want to know something. I said, yes, sir. How do you make money? How do you do? I said, I don't make money. I generate money. Now, let me show you something here. Go with me right now to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Then I'm going to deal with this. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, this can happen to everybody in here if you understand your vision. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 10. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into a land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to Joseph, to Jesus, and to Jesse. I put myself in there because I'm the seed of Abraham, so he's talking to us too. To give thee great and godly cities. Great and godly cities. Then the Lord tell Jason Lozano that he can give you California, believe for it. There it is right there. Which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not. He ain't asking you to make it. He ain't asking you to pay for it. He's asking you to believe for it. And wells dig, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You don't have to do any of this if you understand what your vision is. Become a generator instead of making money, generate money. Now, let me explain that. If you know what a generator does, it's not on at all as long as everything's going good. But it senses when everything goes bad. All of a sudden when the electric shuts down, and not to your fault, but some power person or someone, or some squirrel hit it, or whatever, you know what I'm saying? All of a sudden, wham! But if you have a generator, if you know how to generate, immediately the generator kicks on. Now everybody around you is hot. All that area of their life has now changed. Suffer, suffer, suffer. You don't suffer because the air conditioning working. The power company changed your circumstances. The generator kept you exactly the way you are. And then it won't cut off until it senses that it got a good flow of electricity coming back, because there's such a thing as dirty electricity. We get a lot of electricity in New Orleans from Utah. Did you know that? You get all these stations all over and it's all hooked together. That's why we're so concerned about people getting into our electrical system. They could shut down America. See, it's so interconnected. And sometimes you have what we call dirty electricity. I don't quite understand what that means, but all of a sudden you get brownouts and all kinds of different things, not because the power's off, because it's dirty electricity. But the generator says, I don't care how dirty it is. I'm going to keep you comfortable. I'm going to keep you comfortable until everything gets straight. So I don't care what, if a depression comes, I'm going to be comfortable because I don't make money. I generate money, which means is if you're trying to beat the bushes so a bird can fly out so you can catch the bird and maybe sell it. I don't do any of that. I just generate. And I learned this. You can work for money or you can let money work for you or you can do both. Now, listen to this. Well, how do I do that? Well, number one is your seed. How you become a generator of your seed. Now, that's Mark chapter 4. Now, you see, you got to understand. Right seed, right time, right soil. All these things have to be right. For that generator to stay on, it's got to be right. It senses anything that goes wrong, boom. Holy Spirit's like that. He's a generator. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, it guides you in all truth. How many times you're driving and you normally take a path, all of a sudden the Spirit of God says, go this way. He sensed something, some dirty electricity, for lack of a better way to say it, to get you, and all of a sudden, you're not struggling, you get the way you're supposed to be. See, so when you understand, let me say it like this, don't make money for the vision generated. This is done by your seed. Okay, and watch this. God ended on a good note in Mark chapter 4. and some 30, and some 60, some 104. And most people call it the parable of the sower. That's wrong. They call it the parable of the seed. That's wrong. Actually, it's the parable of the soils. The soils are people. Go read it, Mark chapter 4. Now, why would anybody go hear Jesus that they didn't like him? Like I said the other day. Why would you go spend time of your own precious time to go hear someone you can't stand? That's exactly what they did. You know, because see, they were wayside people. And to give a worthless opinion. So they can just say, well, I don't believe in that. But then go somewhere where you do believe. I've had some people say, I had a person when they thought I would argue with, well, Brother Jesse, I don't like what you say. I said, well, then leave. Right. Now, I don't mean that to be rude. I just want you happy. You don't like it, get out of here. Go do what you got to do. But I promise you, you're going to come back. And what's stopping most people from coming back is shame. They find out they were wrong and they go, oh, God. And they really want to come back, but they're shame. I mean, I won't hold you to anything. I had one man tell me, I don't believe in tithing. I said, but then don't. He thought I was going to argue it. No, do what you got to do. I said, but my God, you're going to open up doors for Satan to beat your brains out. You know, and let me talk about tithing for a second. Are you Moses' seed? No. When God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, was your name on the tablets? No. Well, whose seed are you? What did he do? To who? Melchizedek, right? Who is Jesus in Hebrews chapter 7, New Testament? A high priest on the order of who? And you gonna tell me tithing is under the law? When we know it was before the law. And you still thinking you Abraham's, Moses' seed. You're not. You Abraham's seed. So I tithe. But if you don't want to, don't.
We have another great partner offer for you. It's titled The Prime Obligation and Privilege of Christians. Let me ask you, have you shared the good news with someone today? I want you to discover how important it is to make your life a pattern for others. God has entrusted you with His holy gospel, and He's given you everything you need to share it and change the world. How do I get it? Go to jdm.org and order it today. You will be blessed. It will help you do it.
I'm so thankful to God for the precious testimonies that have come continually into our ministry. And you know, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15 in the Amplified says, "But thanks be to God who in Christ always leads us in triumph as trophies of Christ's victory and through us spreads and makes evident the fragrance of the knowledge of God everywhere. For we are the sweet fragrance of Christ which exhales unto God." Powerful verse. Let's praise God for these glorious moments and spread the sweet fragrance of God to the world. Let's begin here. It says, "I'm writing to you to thank you for writing your book, I Never Learned to Doubt. I'm currently in chains in a county jail detention center. I'm a God-fearing, faith-waving person. I just want to say thank you because your book helped me save someone's life. Thank you again for your book and your wisdom." I love that. Thanks for writing in. And here's another one. It says, "Thank you so much for praying. I asked for prayer for my reproductive system, and after 6 months, I received my complete healing of it. May God richly bless you all." I love that. And here's one more. It says, "I am 53 years old and was unexpectedly widowed a little over 2 years ago. I've been saved for many years, and I have struggled with the chains of religion and false teachings by many well-meaning people. Your ministry is a breath of fresh air and truth. Your teaching on sowing and reaping has completely changed my life, not just financially, but across the board. When my husband died, I watched your video on heaven, and it gave me great hope and comfort. Thank you both for laying your lives down to reveal Christ to the world. I'm grateful for you both." I love that. And I praise God for all that He's doing in your life. You know, thank you for watching today. God is so good. And I pray that you've been encouraged by today's glorious moments. Jesse and I are believing God for you to receive a marvelous move of God in your life too. God bless you.
Vision always runs in advance of your ability to fulfill it. It's always ahead of you, see? But if you say, "God chose me, and I'm going to complete this, and I'm going to do this." You're always going to have somebody say, "You can't do this, you can't do that." But yet, the Bible says you can do all things through Christ. You don't realize how much power you have as a Christian. No matter how old you are, don't you ever quit. before you know it, you complete your destiny and reach your destination.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope today's message stirred you up to come and attend this year's Visionary Conference. It's next week. I'm believing this is going to be our best conference yet. I have three powerful services with messages that will take your vision higher and on the way to completion. Now, when does it start? Visionary starts July the 10th, Thursday at 7 p.m. and then Friday morning, July the 11th at 10 a.m. and that Friday night at 7 p.m. Everyone is welcome. Registration and admission are totally free. How do I get all the information? Go to jdm.org for all the details, and you will be blessed. You don't want to miss this on-time move of God. If you can't be in person, you can be a part of the conference live on our social media platforms and on our free JDM app. But I'm going to tell you something. Being here physically, that corporate anointing is more powerful than the singular anointing. So I hope you can be there personally. You're going to be blessed. Hey, our product offer fits right in line with what we've been talking about. It's my book, Notes from a Vision Specialist. Without sounding prideful or arrogant, I know how to get a vision to come to pass. This book will help you. God has brought every vision He gave me to pass, and He's called me to share what He's taught me. This book will help you, so get your copy at jdm.org. And He's giving me more visions every day. I tell you, it's amazing. God keeps me working. Partners, thank you for your faithful financial support. Without you, we could not do this. And I'm going to tell you something. I bring my partners with me. I'm not out there by myself, because your word and your finances are going out there to preach this gospel to every creature. Nothing too small, nothing too big. Got some old vision things. As soon as I finish one, God gives me another one. It's just amazing what God is doing. Thank you, partners, for all you've done, all you're doing, and all you're going to do. Now, don't miss next week. Part 3 of Vision, the ultimate word in God's vocabulary, is coming. You don't want to miss that. And I mean that sincerely, because it's time for you to get your prayers answered. Don't you think? Aren't you tired of waiting? I know, my God, we Americans, we like stuff done real quick. We created fast food. And you know, you get a little angry if Wendy's spend more than 40 seconds to fix the cheeseburger? Shouldn't be, but you do. You know why? Because we want something to happen. Thank you. Thank you for all that you set your hand to do. Once again, partners, without you, we couldn't do it. Thank you for all that you do for this ministry. I'll get somebody saved for your gift. See ya. Bye-bye. You know, God is the creator, and we should be creators too. In my book, Notes from a Vision Specialist, I reveal some of my vision-impacting experiences so that you can make your vision real God's way. God wants you blessed and excited about your future. Order Notes from a Vision Specialist and decide to make the vision real.
Order your physical copy or digital download for your donation amount of $5 or more at jdm.org.
Your vision is way more powerful than the turbulence, because the turbulence is at only certain feet, certain levels of it. And you're always going to have somebody say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do it. But yet the Bible says you can do all things through Christ. I just ascend to a higher level.
Thank you for watching today. For more information about Jesse Duplantis Ministries, go to jdm.org.